Goedemorgen. Heel hartelijk welkom bij Hour of Power. We vinden het zo fantastisch dat zoveel mensen, jongeren en ouderen, kijken. Wat hebben we vandaag in Hour of Power? Nou, twee gasten uit Amerika, waarvan er één altijd in het koor van de Crystal Cathedral zingt. En ze gaan beide vertellen wat het is om zondag in, zondag uit in de kerk bezig aan het werk te zijn als vrijwilligers. En natuurlijk verder veel muziek en een toespraak van dominee Schuller die je niet gauw zult vergeten. Wij schakelen over naar Orange County in het hart van Californië, naar de Crystal Cathedral.
From the Crystal Cathedral in Garden Grove, California, join Robert Schuller in An Hour of Power, now celebrating our 37th year as the face and voice of positive Christianity to the world.
This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and we will be glad in it. May be seated. thank you for being with us today again, and for all of you for visiting. It's an amazing thing how God is pouring out blessings on this church. It was His church when He called us to start it 52 years ago. And the blessings He's opening up to us are phenomenal. We've been used by God to lead people to Jesus Christ. The telephone calls I've gotten from people in emergencies. A call came to the office, a man's voice, and he said to my secretary, "I'm Evel Knievel. I got to talk to Robert Schuller. It's urgent. Because I just accepted Jesus Christ." He gave me his number. I called him back. I don't have time for the whole story, but I went to see him this week. Never met him in my life. So inspired with his positive thinking attitude, I was tempted to ask him to come and be my guest, but I couldn't because he admitted to prostitution and adultery. Couldn't have a man like that. When I met him, Florida, he said, "I know why you came to check me out. You should. You got a great reputation. You don't want an Evel Knievel on your show if it's not truly a Christian experience I had. Check it out." I was so impressed with him. His soft-spoken, his humility, and his unbelievable story of a conversion that will make history of the great conversions. Only a couple weeks ago. And he will be my guest in this church. That's about as shocking as an awful man, as bad as Evel ever was, who was being crucified next to Jesus and asked Jesus, "Can you remember me when you come into your kingdom?" And Jesus said, "Yes, this day you'll be with me in paradise." And he'll be here. And that's just the beginning of something very, very significant. My guest is Brock Gill. He was born in a Christian family, and he's so proud of his father and mother. And his dad is a pastor of a wonderful little church, I think down in Louisiana, in that part of the world. He does illusions. He's going to do one for us. He rides motorcycles. No, he's not coming in on a motorcycle. There's a video roll in which will tell a bit more about him.
Placing chains around Brock's neck. Now shackling Brock's feet together. There's no illusions, no trick. This is an actual escape. Brock is actually going to be chained up.
Event. This is an effort that's a partnership. This is not a program, it's a strategy. We've done some things that are a little out of the ordinary. There's a reason that we do what we do. It's because our lives have been changed by Jesus Christ. That's why we're on this stage. We're here to tell you about that.
Welcome, Brock Gill. Tell us about your events. How did they get started?
Well, I'll tell you, what we wanted to do was to figure out a way to reach people in a very creative way. We wanted to be able to impact a whole city instead of just a few people at a time. So what we did was put together an event using skateboarding and BMX and bands, different types of music, as well as myself doing illusions and stunts and escapes. We draw a crowd, I give them the message, and it's pretty amazing to see it happen. We have about 80% of the crowd are people that don't go to church. That's... and they'll sit and they'll watch the show, and then they'll hear my life story, and many people are changed because of it. It's pretty amazing.
Wow. How is this impacting young people?
Oh, it's impacting them in a lot of ways. I'm getting emails every week. People go to our website, brockgill.com, and they send me emails all the time. And the emails are saying things like, "Hey, you came to our city, and I was on drugs, or I was in a gang, or I was just, you know, your average kid who struggles at home or struggles at school, and my life was changed." And I get, I even have some in some cities, people are still talking about the event. People are still talking about Jesus. Even though we've been gone for, you know, several weeks, it's really, really cool that we're impacting an entire community and those teenagers. That's what I like to see.
I saw you fly through the air on a motorcycle. Did you ever break a bone?
I've managed to keep myself pretty safe, at least for the past few days.
That's not an answer to. Oh. But did you ever break a bone?
I've broken a few bones here and there. You know, just little ones though, like arms and stuff. You know, feet.
Wow.
Skull. Well,
can you show us one of the illusions you do in your show?
Sure, I'd love to. Now, here's what I'm going to get you to do. I want you to go ahead, if you could, and go ahead and open that up, if you don't mind. And I'm going to get you to pour that water right there into this glass. Now, let me actually set this up here so everybody can see. Go ahead and do this for me. Go ahead and take that and pour it in there until you feel like it's about half full.
See the talent I've got? You never saw it that much?
That's about half empty, so. There you go. That's might be a little too much. Let me see if I can put it. Okay, that's not going to work. I'll tell you what. Not so good. Here's what we'll do. Just hang on to the water, and we're going to try something here. I'm going to put this piece of paper over the top of the glass, all right?
Yeah, sure.
Now you watch carefully, all right?
I will.
If I turn this glass upside down, what do you think would happen? Well, I'll let you think about it. Watch this.
Wish I could see the whole show. I'll give you some water.
Thank you.
You know, I've tried to deal with agnostics, cynics, and unbelievers all my life. And our ministry's always trying to impress the people who aren't believers. And God has blessed this approach. Now, there are agnostics and cynics and atheists who said, Jesus did not perform miracles. They were just illusions. As a professional illusionist, respond to that.
Well, I tell you, we've had to answer some hard questions. I read on a lot of different theories of what Jesus did. You know, some people think that Jesus was a hypnotist or an illusionist, and that's how he fooled everybody, and that's how he got his followers. So we basically were challenged by the Discovery Channel a while back to do basically a 3-hour investigation documentary. And we went and put these theories to the test. We interviewed skeptics, we interviewed atheists, we interviewed experts in all different fields, went around the world, and to try to figure out, was Jesus doing illusions, or was he doing real miracles? I put my faith to the test, and in my opinion, through all of it, I think that we have discovered that Jesus could not have been doing illusions for many reasons. It would take truckloads of equipment to be able to pull off some of the things that we read about. There's a lot of different reasons why he couldn't have done it as an illusionist. And I think that through our documentary, The Miracles of Jesus, we've been able to prove that Jesus was doing real miracles, and proving that the types of miracles and the power that he worked in, he was the Son of God.
How about his resurrection? You believe it?
His resurrection, I believe it 100%.
Why?
I believe it more now than ever. Here's one thing. Some people say that, maybe Jesus never died in the first place, that he just, he looked dead, they put him in the tomb, and he kind of like struggled back and came out. Well, if you think about that, that seems pretty ridiculous. Romans, these guys were experts at killing people. Yeah. They knew if he was dead or not, right?
And if he wasn't dead, they would be executed.
That's exactly right, yeah. Well, the thing that spoke to me the most is when I realized all of this, as we were studying this and thinking about it, was the proof, you think about this, is the disciples. These people were the eyewitnesses. They saw these things. Now, these guys went on to live and to talk about this for many, many years. And these people, they didn't have an easy life because of it. They were martyred. 11 out of the 12 were martyred, and one was exiled for the rest of his life. Here's the thing. If those guys would have been making this up, at some point they would have said, they would have said, my bad, we were just messing around, right? But instead, no, they were killed for it. I mean, 11 out of the 12 were martyred, and another was exiled. I mean, they died for the truth that they saw, they lived, they hung around Jesus. They saw it firsthand, and that's the amazing part about it.
Thank you, Brock Gill. He will be autographing DVDs of the miracles of Jesus in our bookstore today. Wonderful. You strengthen everybody's faith. God
loves
you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ah, we were all looking forward to having Morris Robinson with us today. Great Metropolitan Opera star. But he called yesterday, and he has laryngitis, and he can't see, barely talk. Well, where do you go to find a replacement for him? We thought we knew, and we were right. We looked to a member of the Crystal Cathedral Choir named Steve Pence. He was asked to sing yesterday. He had to memorize the words. He had to prepare for it all. And he said yes, and he sings for us today. He is a member of the Cathedral Choir, I repeat. He sang the special solos for the Messiah concert in December. Currently, he is performing in San Luis Obispo with the Pacific Repertory Opera in the opera La Traviata. He also sings with the Los Angeles Master Chorale, the Los Angeles Opera Chorus, and is the number one choice of Don Newman, who can't be with us today. So enjoy Steve Pence. He sings, "Go Down, Moses."
Thank you. Avadim Hayinu Mitzrabashlaim.
Let my people go.
Anityak Ladonai La'elohim.
Let my people go.
Odan.
Thank you, Steve. I can't see you over there, but I think you're on the other side of the choir there. And I just want to say thank you for coming and for sharing your voice and pinching in at the last minute. Boy, we appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Schuller.
De gasten die ik vanmorgen mag interviewen in Out of Power komen van heel ver. En toch eigenlijk weer niet, want ze zijn trouwe leden van de Crystal Cathedral. En zingen en werken daar ook mee als vrijwilligers. 44 jaar geleden vertrokken ze uit Rotterdam en kwamen als jonge immigranten aan in New York. En gingen vervolgens door naar Californië en daar zijn ze gebleven. De trouwe lezers van ons kwartaalblad kennen beide gezichten, want ze schrijven elk kwartaal over het wel en het wee in, niet zoveel wee natuurlijk, in Californië en ook in de Crystal Cathedral. Heel leuk dat jullie hier zijn vanmorgen. Hartelijk welkom.
Ja, ja,
nou, je kunt nu niet zingen in het koor natuurlijk, Mike.
Nee, dat mis je natuurlijk. Twee weken mis ik ontzettend, ja.
Ja. Ja. 37 jaar zing jij.
37 jaar, huh?
En,
ja. Ik heb een heleboel mensen zien komen en gaan, ja. Maar het is een fantastisch... Maar, fantastisch om steeds om te zingen.
En Anke, als je in de Crystal Cathedral bent, dat jij daar als morgens vroeg loopt te rennen met koffie, met thee, met eten. En je bent dan bezig voor het koor. 100 man die jij verzorgt. Want jij bent de moeder van...
Van iedereen.
Ja, ja. 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 Hoe zijn jullie bij de Crystal Cathedral terechtgekomen?
Wel, toen we in Sandane woonden, toen zochten we echt naar een andere kerk. Dus dan gingen we van de ene kerk naar een andere kerk. En op een gegeven moment zagen we in de krant Dutch Reformed Church, zo hervormde kerk.
Nederlandse hervormde kerk.
Een Nederlandse hervormde kerk. En ze zeiden, nou, dat gaan we een keer proberen. En de eerste keer dat we waren totally. Ik zei, dat is de kerk van ons. Dr. Schuller, koor en de hele omgeving. Dus het was absoluut fantastisch. En zo zijn we erbij gebleven. Ja. We zijn niet meer weggegaan. Toen met het koor, Anke zegt, Mike, waarom ga je niet in het koor? Ik zei, nou, dat is zo fantastisch, dat kan me nooit. Na het zomerkwaar, daar ben ik wel in geweest, en toen kwam de televisie op. En zo is het gekomen, de directeur zegt, Mike, ik wil even met je praten, gaan zingen. En we kijken welk koor je komt, in het avondkoor, in het televisiekoor. En zo kwam ik in het televisiekoor.
Wat heel veel mensen en kijkers niet weten is dat de Crystal Cathedral eigenlijk een bijennest van activiteiten is. Op zondag en ook door de week. Scholen, allerlei mensen die zich bezighouden om anderen te helpen. Van gevangenen tot zwangere, ongehuwde moeders. Noem maar op, het is een grote kerk. Maar ze doen ook heel veel.
Oh, er is ontzettend.
Er is geen excuus. Sommige mensen, als ze zeggen, de kerk is te groot, da, 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 da.
Geen excuus.
Is niet zo. Mm-mm. Je gaat naar je eigen gemeenschap.
Je kring.
Mijn koor is echt mijn kerk. In mijn familie. Ja. Mm-hmm. Zie? En zo, er is geen excuus. Nee. Er zijn zoveel dingen te doen. Ja.
Wat maakt het voor jullie zo bijzonder om niet terug te komen naar Nederland? Nu jullie wat jongere ouder zijn. maar in Californië te blijven wonen.
Well, of course, Californië. En we hebben nu 5 kinderen. En we hebben 7 kleinkinderen.
Ja.
Dat is heel belangrijk.
Ja.
En onze kerk. Ja, het hele leven is anders. Maar het is altijd weer geweldig om even terug te komen in Holland.
Ja.
En de taal bij te houden.
Ja.
En al lieve mensen in Holland weer te zien.
Ja. Je spreekt het nog heel goed.
Ja, ga nog
met
wel.
Met een klein accent.
Ja, ja, af en toe een klein beetje. Maar, en een beetje Amsterdams misschien erdoor. Maar.
In de christelijke kathedraal gaat het om de Bijbel open. Gaat het om God, gaat het om geloven. Wat betekent dat voor jullie?
Wel, wat ik het mooie vind, dat onze christelijke kathedraal en de preken van Dr. Schuller en andere Dr. Schuller, dat gaat om al de mensen heen. Het gaat niet enkel om de strictly christenen. Het is bijna een hospital voor mensen die nooit van God gehoord hebben. En nooit, het wordt zo mooi uitgelegd. Het dagelijks leven.
Ja.
En dat vind ik zo ontzettend mooi. Ja. En het maakt ook niet uit of je een katholiek bent, of je bent Joods, of je bent Baptist. Het is één familie. En dat vind ik altijd het mooiste. Dat vond ik van vroeger al mooi, dat ik een kind was.
Ja. Ja. Want Anke, ik ken jou. Hoe lang kennen we elkaar al? Ik, als klein jongetje kwam
100
ik al
jaar.
Met. Ja, als klein jongetje kwam ik in de kerk met Corrie ten Boom. Die nam ik mee. Ik was ook echt onder de indruk van die kerk.
Ja.
Maar toen liep je al te hollen en te draven. Toen was die kristallen kathedraal er nog niet. Maar dan kom je elk jaar een paar keer naar Nederland. Hè. Blijven toch jullie roots, jullie land, vaderland vasthouden. Wat vind je ervan dat Hour of Power al 8 jaar hier in Nederland wordt uitgezonden?
Ik vind het fantastisch, want ze zien hem altijd. De familie ziet hem op in het koor. Wat ik leuk vind, als jij iemand een interview maakt, weet je wel. Je leert ervan. Je denkt, oh, dat is leuk, zo'n interview er tussendoor. Ik vind dat wel leuk. Ja,
want de mensen weten dat niet. Maar de dienst van een uur in de christelijke kathedraal wordt in Amerika onderbroken door reclame. Dus vandaar dat willen wij niet. Vandaar dat ik leuke mensen kan interviewen.
Ja. Dat is
en dat vind ik erg leuk daarvan, hoor. En dat zoveel mensen het zien, weet je wel.
Ja.
En dat is, we hebben het wel gemerkt. Hij was
heel
in
belangrijk.
Het koor deze week. En zoveel mensen die konden hem eigenlijk. Enkel van het koor.
Ja, die grijze duif. Ja.
Die grijze die er bovenuit steekt.
Ja.
Het koor kent een ijzeren discipline, hè?
Ja. Ja.
En daarvoor is het ook zo goed.
Wel. Discipline musical is heel belangrijk. En het grootste belangrijke voor Don is diction. Zo uitspraak, zodat de mensen het echt kunnen horen dat ze zingen. Wij zijn eigenlijk, als je het zo wil zeggen, zingende predikanten. Het is echt waar, het is een feit. De mensen moeten het kunnen horen en verstaan.
Ja, hoeveel keer per week oefenen jullie?
Wij oefenen dus van donderdags meestal, van 8:30 tot 9:30. En dan zondags van 8 tot 9, voor de kerk start. En dat is heel belangrijk.
Ja.
En er wordt geen gepraat. Het is strictly zingen.
Ja.
En we hebben een fantastische dirigent. Dat weet je wel. Het is werkelijk fantastisch.
Ja.
Ik zou zeggen, ga terug met deze boodschap naar de christelijke kathedraal. Naar het koor. Zo snel mogelijk terug naar Nederland. Want het is al 2 jaar geleden.
Ja, en het is te lang.
Te lang. Je doet het?
Ja.
Oké, okay. Next year.
Ja.
Volgend jaar.
Oké.
Okay. Dank dat jullie er waren.
We doen ons best.
Ja.
Oké, bedankt. Dank je
wel. En wij gaan terug naar de Crystal Cathedral. En dan gaan we kijken naar het koor. Helaas zonder Mike. En dan zingt het toch net ietsje minder. Maar wel heel erg mooi.
Well, we have a visiting choir director this morning. I'm very, very proud of Earl Richards. Earl, wave to the people. Look at that young man, because there's a story there. Handpicked by Don Newman to help us out when we need help. Completing his doctoral studies and conducting under Don Newman, correct?
Yes.
The next thing I heard was that you and your family visited this cathedral in the 1980s, and it was a result of that visit? Is that true?
Yes, indeed.
It was a result of that visit that you made a decision to pursue your dream of a career in music and conducting. Is that true?
That is correct.
Thank you very, very much.
Crown him with many crowns. Crown him.
thank you, choir, for just a spectacular piece of music. And Dan, I just appreciate it more than I can ever tell you. I'm going to actually read the scripture as part of my message this morning, because I want you to hear these words from Philippians, because they're words of encouragement and words that give us things to hold on to. And here's the words which we read from Philippians chapter 3. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me. Our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be made like his glorious body. Therefore, brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. When we look at happiness from the inside out, we realize that it all begins with God. And I want us to reaffirm that. So here's how you do. I want you to shake the hand of those sitting around you and say, God is at work in you. And as a response to that, because that's kind of a weird thing to have somebody come and say to you, practice responsive listening. That means you repeat what you've heard. So you would say, God is at work in me. So right now, take a moment, shake the hands of those next to you. God is at work in you, and respond, God is at work in me. That's right. Don't be too shy. You can turn around and do it to someone behind you. We don't want anyone to be left out of this cold, you know. So if you see somebody sitting way up in the points there, you might want to go out of your way, shake that individual's hand, and let them know that God is at work in you, and he can affirm, and you can say the same. Anyway, that's where it begins. God is at work in us. What we have to realize is that represents the sovereignty of God. God's hand moving and shaping and having impact in what we do. But today our text comes at life from a totally different perspective. Instead of coming at us saying, God is at work in you, we hear these words: forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press toward the goal to win the prize. So we see suddenly the free will of man coming into play in our own happiness. That happiness comes from within. We have a part in it. It begins with God, with the knowledge that God is at work within us. But it continues with an understanding that we have a role to play as well. Forgetting what is behind. You know, it's easy for us to rest on our laurels. My mother used to say, Robert, get your elbows off the table. Anyone ever hear that? Proper manners? I don't even know if that's taught anymore, but that's what my mother taught me. Robert, get your elbows off the table. So I started to believe that expression was an expression of elbows. But guess what? The laurels aren't elbows. The laurels is a prize that was given in the Olympics back 2,000 years ago. The runner who ran the race, the person who accomplished the goals, he received the laurels on his head, a crown of success. And when we hear these words, don't rest on your laurels, what does it mean? It means don't rest on your past success. The same thing is true with our failures. Forgetting what is behind. And we can so easily look at our success or our failures and rest on the past instead of straining forward, moving forward to be the people that God has called us to be. I think we have to realize that God has called every single one of us. He's called us for a specific purpose and a reason. He's entrusted us with gifts. And you know the beautiful thing about gifts is gifts are things that we haven't earned. They've been given to us. And in fact, gifts are very difficult for us to recognize often because it's so easy for us. It doesn't mean anything to us. Why anybody can do that? The facts of the matter is not everybody can do that. For instance, my wife has the gift of color memory. Have you ever heard of such a thing? Color memory? I have zero sense of color memory. She has this ability to remember colors, the exact shade that is just beyond my comprehension. I cannot, for the life of me, figure out how she can remember those colors. She says, "Are you colorblind?" I go, "No, I'm not colorblind." She holds it up and I go, "Yes, I can see that's three shades lighter than that one." You're right. It's a gift. So often we don't even recognize the gifts we have. But we have gifts. And one of the most important things for us to do as God's people is to start to recognize the gifts that God has given to us. And that's why I started this message by saying God is at work in you. And we have to recognize the fact that God is at work in us. That is the sovereignty of God. But at the same time, we are called now to press on, striving towards what is ahead. I press on toward the goal. The goal of discovering first what God has called me to. Press on and strive towards the goal that God has revealed for me in my life. We have been called by God for a purpose and for a reason. And God in His sovereignty has gifted us with the ability to fulfill that calling that He has given to each and every one of us. That is the one hand. On the other hand, He has given us the free will to choose. To choose whether or not we want to strive towards that goal, to press on, and to be the people that He has called us to be. And that is the choice we make. He will never force us into that position. He'll never actually make us do that. It's called free will. Sovereignty on one hand, free will on the other. And with that comes this huge gray area of where does God's sovereignty in our life comes into play, and where does our free will come into play in light of God's sovereignty? And in this window is a huge area, a gray area, which I don't know where our free will ends and God's sovereignty begins. And if somebody tells you that they know, God's sovereignty ends right here, and our free will begins right here, I can assure you, they don't have the right answer. For one thing, I think it's a moving target. I think God will, when He decides to, just come in and do things that we never anticipated. For instance, Paul, who was giving us these words, is a devout Jew. In his devotion, he is in the process of gathering Christians and persecuting Christians. And while he is gathering and persecuting Christians, God himself comes and strikes him with blindness and speaks to him verbally and says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he snatches him from that life and brings him to the life we know today. God does that. He will come in and intervene sometimes. So if we cross a line someplace and say, this is where God does it, but God doesn't always do that. Sometimes God says, I stand at the door and knock. And there's no door knob on the door. I stand at the door and knock. If you open the door, I will come in and I will sup with you. And he waits for us to open the door and invite him into our lives and into our souls. And he doesn't push. We can't comprehend why God decides to do one thing with one person and something else with another person. We'll never know that answer. But the answer we do know is how we are to live. With this understanding and this concept of the sovereignty of God and the free will of man, there is but one way to live where we know that all the bases are covered so that we don't get stuck in this gray doldrums of life. We live like this. We pray like everything depends on God. That nothing is going to happen unless we pray, unless God steps in and God makes it happen. That's how we pray. We pray like it all depends on God. And then we work like it all depends on you. Like God is not going to intervene and he's not going to be there. And you just work like it all depends on you. And when you pray like it all depends on God and you work like it all depends on you, you will succeed and you will be the people that God has called you to be. You will not fail. You will win the prize. It is really fun winning prizes. Anyone here want a prize for anything? Oh, man, it is fun. I've won a prize. It was a tremendous experience. And at first blush, people would think, oh, what a lucky guy he was. In fact, I get teased every time I do win something like that. Well, you know he's got somebody else on his side. And the fact is, the luck is a four-letter word. It's spelled W-O-R-K. It is. And let me tell you about the one prize I want. I'm only doing this because I know it's for your edification. I was marlin fishing with some friends of mine. We like to go and participate in these marlin tournaments, and they always have a prize. Well, it's not uncommon for us to do quite well in those and to usually place. And the reason is because marlin fishing is not luck. It's mainly skill. And I had put together a team of people who knew exactly what to do. And it's a very simple thing. The biggest fish is first prize. The second biggest fish is second prize, etc., etc. Six fish. We bring our fish in, and the team who has the biggest fish come and take a look at our fish on our swim sip, and you see their face turn white. And we go to weigh our fish. And guess what? They couldn't weigh it. They had to put it back on the sand and dig a bigger hole in the sand so they could get it off the ground. With that, I didn't have to know how much it weighed. I knew we'd won. And it's a great feeling to get that prize. Not for the money, but for the trophy. For the sense of accomplishment. For the fulfillment of all the hard work and the dedication and the commitment that you put in putting a team together and making all the preparations and all the little details that go in, the exact same kind of line that you know that the fish are going to need, the study of how the fish migrate, of how they move, and all of that coming together and receiving the prize. But it wasn't luck. It was W-O-R-K. And that's our message from Paul today. God is at work in you. And we recognize God is at work in me. God has given you a calling. And we recognize God has gifted me with wonderful skills. Now, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with God's gift to you? Striving towards what is ahead, I press on to the goal to win the prize to which God has called me. And so onward we go. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Wonderful song. I'm pressing on. Dear Heavenly Father, give us the strength to keep on keeping on. Give us the ability not to rest on our laurels, but to realize that with you, we can truly succeed. So we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our lives. Amen. Blessings of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, fill your hearts and your minds with the joy of God's grace and goodness. Today, tomorrow, and forever. Amen.
De tijd is omgevlogen als je naar Hour of Power zit te kijken. Althans, zo ervaren veel mensen het. En dat vinden we natuurlijk heel erg fijn. En ik hoop dat deze uitzending troost, bemoediging en hoop heeft gebracht. Want daar gaat het om. Tot volgende week.